And welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Tom Rainer, where we equip churches to move from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Revitalize and Replant is brought to you by the North American Mission Board.
Welcome. We are going to deal with a question, and we'll get the question from Mark in just a moment, but we are going to deal with a question that we get quite often. And usually it is in a church in need of revitalization or perhaps even replanting, but it's also a question that we hear from a lot of pastors regardless of the situation. So even though this has specificity toward revitalization and replanting, I think any of you listeners are going to get something from this as we talk about dealing with an aging facility. I'm glad to welcome back Mark Clifton and Jonathan Howe. The three of us are part of Revitalize and Replant podcast. Jonathan and I are here every podcast, and Mark, you're joining us. Is it half, two-thirds?
I don't know.
It's never enough.
I know, but I am an aging facility.
That's true. Funny.
Which means
every other week. Mark's on every other week.
I'm on every other week. All right.
And if he's an aging facility, since I'm older,
you're like ready for implosion.
Thank you. Boom. Push the button, and the building comes
down.
Hold
my grape juice.
Then Rainer is done with. Rainer is gone. So, Jonathan, Mark asked the question, and I know Mark gets
too. Not that Mark.
Not me.
Not Mark Clifton, but this is Mark.
He says that they have a really old facility that was built in the 1930s.
Not even mid-century.
It's not even mid-century.
So it's not even cool looking.
Yes.
You know, all right.
It says, are there any things I can do to the facility that won't cost an arm and a leg that can help me in my replant?
No, there's not.
All right, join us next week.
Join us next week on this edition of Revitalize and Replant. And
Mark, no books for you, Mark.
Mark, no, let's send in the books, but no answers.
Yes.
He gets okay, for the uninitiated, this is our sixth consecutive recorded podcast today, and if we sound a little bit giddy at this point, it's because we're about to be done for the day. Mark,
I'm sorry.
Yes, you are in so many ways for that comment. So let's look at some of these issues. Mark, before we get to each of the points that we're going to discuss, do you have any just a general statement about this?
It is so common. I mean, you know, churches generally built their buildings to be about 20% or 30% larger than they were on their biggest high attendance Sunday.
That's true.
They really did. Oh, we got 200. Oh, we better build for 350. And then they never. So one thing, a lot of times the buildings are just too big. I say all the time, a lot of these neighborhood churches, man, your church is not too small. Your building's just too big.
That's
and
a good quote.
When I went to Warnell, man, the place seated 610. And I knew it seated 610 because above every door in the sanctuary, it said fire code occupancy 610. So when I had 18 there on the first Sunday, I knew I could cram 592 more in there if we needed to.
Yeah, but that's SHC.
That's true.
Skinny, hiney counting.
I know.
That's back in the 20s. And probably the width per person was like 22 inches or 20 inches back then.
Yes, probably so.
And I couldn't fit one of me in two of those. So,
But old buildings are absolutely an issue. I mean, they cost a lot to maintain. They're not attractive. Let's be honest, they even smell. I mean, there's an odor in an old church. You could be blindfolded and somebody could walk you into the basement of a fellowship hall and you go, I'm in the basement. I mean, you know, if you wanted to, I mean, Yankee Candle could make a scent that the church basement and I would know what it was.
I don't think that would sell well.
No, probably not.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. Kind of
reminiscing and memories. You know, Jonathan, I got a story and we'll get back to Mark in just a minute.
Okay.
I never thought about this. My second church.
Okay.
In Jeffersontown,
Kentucky,
in the Louisville area, we had a full basement that had the same footprint as the church.
Okay.
But we never could use it because it was never had been used. It was old and musty and had junk growing everywhere. But it was semi-finished. We had double our square footage below us. But we had never, the church said, we're going to be moving into that. They never moved into.
What would they have put in it?
It's mainly
fellowship hall or education space?
It was all education space. Okay. It was all education space, like the footprint below the worship center, which is chopped up into education space. Large student room. We did let students go use it down there because we weren't really that concerned about lethal poisoning.
Mold. That'll be all right.
Mold, asbestos, tile. What difference does it make?
But
well, see, that's funny because I grew up in the South in, you know, Louisiana, South Louisiana at that.
Do you do basements?
No.
I didn't think
you started digging a basement. You're digging a pond.
Yeah, you dig basement. Oh, hello, there's a Gulf of Mexico coming in this way to this tributary.
There's no basements down there. So like all this talk of church basements, I don't know that one.
You know, very seldom, though, do we talk to somebody who's revitalizing, replanting a church, and they go, man, this building is sweet. I mean, this building is great.
Check out what I've got.
I mean, it again, it's normally way too big for the number of gathered worship you're going to have. Also, they built this education space for Sunday school at a time when Sunday school is very different than it is today.
Sometimes the numbers were greater than the worship attendance.
Most of the time, really, back in the day, they were greater. And you have all these classrooms in there, three floors sometimes of classroom, and always a lot. I mean, I can't tell you how many church buildings I've gone to with no ground level entrance at all. You got to go up a half a flight to get to the sanctuary. Or you got to go down a half a flight to get to the basement. It's I don't know.
I think
the Baptist Sunday School Board back in the 1950s and 60s thought that was a good idea.
Gosh, I wasn't there then. So what do you think?
Another problem we didn't have in Louisiana.
And then three floors of education space. I mean, there's so many stairs in all these churches and so many doors to come in out of, and they've been added on to. And the lighting is poor. And the narrow hallways are narrow. Am I describing it well?
You've got it. Yeah. You've nailed it.
There was no ADA regulations back then.
There was no ADA regulations.
So you've got no ramps. You got stairs everywhere.
And
no elevators.
You got probably 40 or 50 years of some well-meaning guys who went down to Home Depot and said, we'll fix this room up this way, and then we'll fix that room up that way. And every room is often painted a whole different color so that there's no uniformity throughout the whole thing. And it just looks chopped up. And the children's area, I think I told you this in a previous podcast. I took a young couple to a church that was trying to get replanted. And the little girl looked, and I was there. I heard it. She looked into the children's nursery area, and she asked her mom. She said, Mom, is this a garage sale? Because she saw all the toys just laying around, and her mother would go to garage sales, and she thought this was like a garage sale. It was the preschool area, for goodness sake.
It's like the video for becoming a welcoming church.
That's part of it. And then Sam went back to the church where he was as a kid, where I was a pastor. He went into the children's area.
Mm-hmm.
Same toys. From when he was 8 years old.
Mm. And Sam Rainer teeth marks on him.
And he's 38 years old now. Mm. I remember those toys 30 years ago.
And then everything behind the walls that costs money. I learned that at Warnell, and I've learned it in all these other churches I've been working with. You can put $100,000 in a building and never see a dollar of it. It's in wiring, it's in plumbing, it's in air conditioning and heating. And you think, man, for $100,000, couldn't I even get a new sound system or new paint on the wall? So the expense behind the wall is so expensive as well.
All right, Jonathan, we have now described the problem. Maybe we can help with the problem just a little bit.
All right, so we're going to talk about how to deal with an aging facility. We've got 5 points to cover today. Number one, get a clear perspective on the challenges.
What do you do, Mark?
Know what to tackle.
Bring in somebody to help you look at that. Whatever denomination, if you're in a denomination, you probably have some group regionally or statewide that deals with church loans or church buildings or something, and just give them a call and say, hey, could you come out and walk through this with me? You guys do this all the time. Could you help us get some idea of what we're looking at in terms of expense, what needs to be done, what's an absolute first come first for safety and things like that? Get some outside people to come in and walk through.
Our favorite is Tim Cool.
Yeah.
Of Cool Solutions. Is it coolsolutions.com or
Cool Solutions Group?
CoolSolutionsGroup.com. And that's what they do. Facilities.
Right.
They just go into facilities. They'll make recommendations from everything about renovation to utilities to whatever. And it is what they do, and they do an incredible job of it.
Right. So get an outside person to help you. So and have a master plan.
Yeah.
Just like you wouldn't want to start building a church building without a master plan. Get a master plan when you're going to start remodeling or updating this building, and realize it will be. A 3 to 5 to 10 year process.
Yes. Because number two, you have to decide what is urgent. You got to tackle those big hurdles first.
Right. And as I said a moment ago, sometimes the most urgent stuff is the stuff you'll never see.
Yeah.
Man, we had to spend thousands of dollars on some new lighting that, in the cove lighting in the sanctuary, and you never see it. And it's like, it was just really disheartening to spend that much money that we really didn't have on something, but it had to be done or it was absolutely a fire hazard.
Yeah, you got safety concerns.
Yes.
And those have to be tackled first before you do anything that's just visual.
Yes, and doors with panic bars and making sure your children's area is secure. You got to do all of those kinds of things.
Wow, I'm just reflecting for just a moment. We just left 1.1 million square feet of old building,
yeah,
Lifeway. And when I would look at our maintenance cost and of the old building, inevitably the two highest were HVAC and roof.
Mm-hmm.
And you never saw them.
Right. We just saw the leaks coming in our offices.
Yes, yes.
I was the only one without a leak in the office when we were up there on the 10th floor, or 11. What were we on, 11?
11. Yeah.
I forgot. It's been so long. 6 months.
Yeah, we had some. This is the old facility, folks.
Yes. Nothing new. New one's great.
But to Mark's point, we would spend all this money. And it wasn't deferred maintenance. Yeah. We just didn't know these things were going to break down. Maybe it should have been deferred maintenance. I don't know. But it just happened. Uh-oh, we got to get a new portion of a roof here. Uh-oh,
right.
We've got to get some whatever. And we never saw it.
And you've got to, you know, in most parts of the country, I can't, very few parts of the country could you get by without air conditioning. There's a church in Kansas City that was a declining church, and their air conditioner didn't work, and they didn't want to replace it. And I mean, it can be so unbearably hot in that place in the summer, and they would pass out frozen bottles of water when you came in, you know, and just to get them. And I would say, how many places do you go in your life today that's not air conditioned, other than the dry cleaner? I mean, really, where else do you go?
That's true.
Why is that? Why the dry cleaner's not air conditioned? I don't know.
I've just realized that too. My dry cleaner.
If there's a dry cleaner, why don't you have them call in? Oh wait, this is a podcast.
Yeah.
But seriously.
Oh, we have 7 calls coming in for dry cleaners right now.
Okay. No, but if you have an answer, shoot us an answer.
You gotta have air conditioning these days. All right, you gotta have it, and you gotta have heat, and you gotta have a roof, and those are gonna cost you a lot. You gotta have good windows. You gotta have security. So just deal with it. I don't mean to say just deal with it, but it's a reality we all have to deal with. And I will tell you this without any hesitation. The building was the biggest burden I had at Warnell. There were days it crushed me. There were days and one of the older members, when I came there, she's a dear saint. She'd been the church secretary there for years. And she told me, I'll never forget it. She said, Mark, this building will do you in. And I thought, oh, no.
It's encouraging.
No. And she was
female Barnabas.
She was dead on right. It was, and it, you know, to this day, it's still an issue. I mean, we've gone through lots of renovations and lots of things, but it's still there. We got this big steeple, this huge steeple. It's beautiful, but it leaks, all right? Well, if we were to replace all of that, it would be tens of thousands of dollars. And
get rid of the steeple, Mark.
So all we do, this is serious. We have a huge bucket up there that catches the rain. So all you got to do is make sure every 2 or 3 months you go up there and somebody crawls up in the steeple, takes the bucket and throws it out and puts the bucket back. If you don't, you're going to have water in the sanctuary. That's just the world you live in. I mean, that's when you look at this and, you know, and you say, we decide what is urgent. Well, that's not a safety issue. And if you actually empty the bucket, but you're going to have to, and you can't get overly frustrated with that. That's just the building that we have. And it won't be that way forever, but it's that way right now.
Wow.
I like that. It won't be this way forever, but it is this way right now.
That's what we call tactical patience.
Yeah. All right. Number 3, look for low-hanging fruit.
You know, low-hanging fruit can come in a couple of ways, Jonathan and Mark. Low-hanging fruit can come in the way of what you said, the behind-the-scenes things, that we can do a few things to take care of it. But I have seen churches that will do some basically cosmetic things, and it will really help the morale of the church. And even though it may not be a structural decision, even though it may not increase or in many cases decrease space, it can be something that will really help the church.
Okay, let me give you some specific ideas. As much as you can, and if it's going to cause a huge problem right now, don't, you know, be careful. But as much as you can, get rid of as many of the silk plants as you possibly can that are in the sanctuary. A lot of times they'll have all kinds of dusty, dirty old silk plants that have been there for years, haven't been cleaned off. They look tired. They look worn out. Just clean those out so nothing looks old and dirty and worn out. A second thing is spend a little bit of money, not a lot, but a little bit of money, and get someone to do some branding for you. So you've got your church's name is in a certain font and color, and then have them make a tremendous number of signs to put up all over the church with that branding.
Usually pretty inexpensive.
In these days, very inexpensive. You can get those done really well, these plastic signs. But if someone walks in, even if the building is deteriorating and looks old, but these are new signs and with sort of a new logo, and they're all the same font, and it's this way to the sanctuary, this way to the restrooms, you know, and even just in the hallways, we just put some scriptures with that on there and some of our church vision and what it means to be part of the church. Those things, just some signage, and then some big pictures. We live in a day where it's so easy to take high-quality, high-res pictures. Mm-hmm. Take some big pictures of your church doing some kind of ministry, and then blow those things up and put them on the walls in the hallway. Even if you can't paint the hallways and do all that.
Cover them.
It's going to make a statement to people. And then one more. When I was at Warnell, it turned out that the coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, his wife, he's the guy that just got fired from Pittsburgh, Todd Haley.
Uh-huh.
He was the coach. And then the owner of the Chiefs is Lamar Hunt Jr. He passed away, but Clark Hunt. So Clark's wife and Haley's wife, they were going to be at our church because we were having a Right to Life event. We sponsored a maternity home.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I'm thinking, okay, and a bunch of Chiefs players were going to be there, and I mean, our restrooms were like scary. I mean, they hadn't been touched since the Hoover administration, and I'm thinking we're going to have the Chiefs coaches and the Chiefs players, and they're going to see our restrooms, and so I kind of freaked out at Dr. Rayner, and I kind of call our leadership together, and I go, we've got to go ahead and update these bathrooms, these restrooms, and my young leadership team, all of them in their 20s, they were so cool, and they said, dude, they said, Clifton, you can't do that. Just because these people are coming, just chill out. You can't do that. But you know what we did do? We took those really cool signs, like I said, we had around the church, and we put a sign up in each of the restrooms, and really, really nice sign. And it said, hey, excuse our mess. We know these restrooms need a lot of work and are deteriorating, but right now we're choosing to use our resources to bless the community.
Good.
And we just stuck those in there. And so, I mean—
Here's a donation bucket if you would like.
No, it is true. Because
this is a paid restroom.
The bucket was in the steeple.
No, it is true. We were using the small resources we had to serve the high school and do those kinds of things. And our folks said, hey, the restrooms work okay. They look decent enough. And you know, I never forgot about that. And so just walking in and saying, yeah, we know these look scary, but we'd rather do something else with our money right now than fix up these restrooms. So just with signage and things like that, I think you can make a real impact.
Yeah, don't forget, we've got a signage checklist over at TomRainer.com. You can find out more about that and just download that. We'll link
that's
to
a,
it.
That's a free here. One, too.
And low-hanging fruit is clean up that preschool area.
Yeah.
I mean, throw away all the stuffed animals. You know,
the 30-year old toys.
Yeah, just make that, get rid of stuff, and minimalist is best in that preschool area. And make that preschool, that's the first place you work on is
there's your low-hanging fruit.
Area.
Yeah. And then also, I'm guessing curb appeal, too. You can have a work day, clean up the bushes, the shrubs, you know, whatever you can.
And you know what?
Pressure wash things.
Really, today, because of LED lighting, you can do some really cool things with outside lighting you couldn't do in the past. And so you can really change the look of a church on the outside for not very much money with some good outside LED lights that shine up against the church and really accent it well. And a new sign. I mean, yeah, those are things you can do. Not a banner over the old sign, but a new sign. So, yeah, that kind of thing.
All right, number four, seek ministry partners.
Now, Mark, you have mentioned in the past that really if you should try to fund everything internally, that you should not be asking people or being mad at people because they cannot provide funding. Are there any such situations or any scenarios where a ministry partner, whether it's for a cleanup or helping while you're doing this to be able to work with you, are there some cases where ministry partners can help on the aging facility?
There are, if you have specific things for them to do and that sort of limited. You just can't ask them to come in and redo everything. But if, for example, and I've done this, and it has been extremely well received, guys. If you will contact a church in your area that has a really good children's ministry and perhaps has a full-time children's minister, and you just say, hey, could I have 30, 40 minutes with you sometime, and maybe could you come over and look at our place, and have that person give you some advice on what to do with that children's area.
Oh, that's good.
And then even ask them, say, look, would it be possible if we picked a date somewhere way out in the future and our church provided a meal, could you bring some of your folks over and help us clean this up and get it painted? I mean, they'd be delighted to do that. So absolutely, you need to reach out and ask those churches for help. But you're not asking them to come in and give you $20,000 and all new preschool stuff.
Yeah, Beth has done that. She's gone and helped
Beth
out.
Beth is Jonathan's wife, who's a children's minister.
Children's minister. She's gone to smaller churches in the area that have, you know, maybe a Bivo or just a volunteer kids minister and meets them at an area lunch or something like that. And they, please come by and check us out. Just give us some pointers, things that we can maybe be able to help.
Well, that's
and
good.
She's gone over there and done that. Now, she's never taken a team over. I like that idea. I don't think people... I don't think she's done it because nobody's ever asked.
Well,
I don't think people ask for that.
Well, one of the things I've asked is, I said, "Hey, maybe your church would like to give us a baby shower for our new preschool area."
That's a great idea.
And have a baby shower. But it's important. You know, listen, if you're a pastor out there and you're listening to this, it's really important to go get outside help for that preschool area. Otherwise, the same people who made it look as bad as it does now are going to come in and clean it up and make it look as bad as it does now. And so rather than you being the person that has to tell these ladies and these other men, hey, we're not going to do the children's area that way, you've got an outsider who's come in and said, this is how we're going to do our children's area.
Due to time being short, I want to get to this question and then go to number five. Mark, I haven't in any way prepped you for the question I'm about to ask you, so your answer may be, I don't know. So that is absolutely fine. I have knowledge of many organizations who have helped churches construct facilities, new worship center, in addition to the church. You get the picture. I remember Carpenters for Christ in my day. Are there any out there that do renovation?
There certainly are. And a lot of them are, actually. And especially if they sense you have a direction and a passion to reinvent yourself.
That's important. Instead of the construction being the magic bullet.
It goes back to money and resources flow toward activity.
It does. Money and resources flow, what did you say?
Flow.
Thank you.
Toward activity.
And that's what you said too, Mark.
It is. But at the beginning of this podcast, we talked about a master plan.
Yeah.
And so if you've got a master plan and you share with those building teams, hey, this year, could you come in and do this for us next year? Absolutely lean into those building teams to do that.
So that's our point number five, Jonathan.
Yep. Seek construction and building ministries to do facility rehab work.
I think that's an area that is out there, but it can really grow.
Yeah. Our church in Alabama had been, whenever we were there, it was 25 to 26 years, somewhere in there. So they're at like year 32. But every year they take a huge construction mission trip somewhere in the country, and they go either build a facility or renovate a facility or whatever it may be. Our church in Alabama was one of those.
Okay. So, were they with Carpenters for Christ?
No, I don't think so.
It was just something that they did themselves. Started in Alabama.
Just something they did themselves.
Okay.
They may have just seen the idea and just started doing it.
But what Mark said is dead on. You really have to be a church that has a vision of where you're going, because otherwise you think the facility rehab is going to be the answer to the problem, the magic bullet syndrome.
And real quick, let me say on facility rehab, take those old Sunday school rooms that you don't use anymore and find ways to make them available to the community, like we said in a previous podcast. Maybe put some washers and dryers in there, then say one night a week, this is open for anybody in the neighborhood who needs to do their laundry. At the same time, we're going to provide child care. And even if you don't have people who can do childcare, that's where you could reach out to a neighboring church. They could bring some of their folks over, and you could do that. Create another room, make it a birthday party room. Paint it all up, make it look cool. Let the neighborhood know you
we
can
need one of those
have
here.
Your birthday parties there. Okay, I'm just saying find
you
ways
want
to
a
use that.
Cake room. You don't want a birthday party room.
I'm not opposed to that either.
Okay, we'll have both a cake room. We are going to create a Lifeway, the Jonathan Howe Cake and Birthday Room. And
I'll get on that.
How you will be remembered.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Well, thank you so much for being a part of Revitalize and Replant. Mark, thank you again. I'm thanking you now for 6 podcasts that we have done today. But for the listener, when this is going and live in June, this is the only one that you have heard today if you listen to it live. Jonathan, thank you as always. Amy and the absent Amy. The other Amy just walked out, so I assume she had something else to do. Amy J is here. Amy T is gone. Thank you, and thank you for joining us, and thank you, North American Mission Board, for sponsoring us.
Yep, more than 10% of churches in North America are at risk of closing, and the North American Mission Board is committed to reversing this trend by decreasing the death rate of existing churches while simultaneously increasing the birth rate of new ones. To learn more about what it means to become a replanting pastor or to explore resources for replanting and revitalization in your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.
And join us next week on Revitalize and Replant as we continue to grow healthy churches together.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant with Tom Rainer. If you'd like to learn more about re-energizing your church to reach your community, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Google Play or in your favorite podcasting app. For additional resources on church leadership and to join the conversation online, visit tomrainer.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.